Thanks, Jeff. There are a lot of familiar faces here. Of course, I've known for many years. But there are also some guests, and so I probably should introduce myself so you know a little bit more about me. I'm retired Air Force, Steve Stiglitz. I am your associational missionary, and you're thinking, what in the world is that? All right? Well, we have 100 Southern Baptist churches in the Greater Dayton Association. That's 10 counties, all right? And so my job is to be a resource to those 100 churches. So when you see me, you want to think resource. My job is to help you and all those other churches be the very best in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that they can possibly be. That's the bottom line. That's what an associational missionary is all about. All right? I started my first paid position in the ministry was right here. I was the minister of youth and associate pastor, as like Jeff, many years ago. And then moved from here to First Baptist Fairborn, which was my first full-time position. I retired from the Air Force in December and started in January at First Baptist Fairborn. I was at Fairborn for 19 years, and then I moved into this position. And so this church, of course, has got a lot of history with us and my family. So thank you very much for the opportunity to come back and to share with you. My wife, Claudia, is not here this morning. She works at Children's. She takes care of the little preemies, the neonatal intensive care unit. She takes care of them, all right? And boy, does she take care of them. She loves them, all right? She's there Friday night, Saturday night, and she has to work tonight. And so we passed. As I was going out the door, she was coming in. She works in the evening, and so, but she sends her greetings and her love also to you all. We have 3 children. They all live in this area. They are all married, and we have 7 grandchildren, all right? And so with that, and they're all in this area, the oldest is 21, the youngest is 4, okay? Yeah. And last Monday night, we had 6 of the 7 at a sleepover at our house, just Claudia and I. Stupid. Long night. Used to do lock-ins, Jeff. Don't like to do lock-ins anymore. Oh, but that gives you a little bit of an introduction to myself and our family and our history here at the church. But because I have some history here, I want to ask your permission. Can I challenge you this morning? Would it be all right, friends, family? Can I challenge you this morning? All right, might step on some toes, okay? But that's what family's about, right? All right. How many of you like football? Come on. You like football? All right. Do you remember the name Vince Lombardi? All right. Probably not too many people don't know that name. Vince Lombardi was a football coach, right, for the Green Bay Packers, 1959, right, to 1967, right, in the National Football League. During those 9 years, he won 5 league championships. Now, 68, he took a retirement for 1 year. And then in 69, he coached the Washington Redskins for 1 year. So, Vince Lombardi was a coach that stood out among coaches, all right? And let me tell you why. He says, every year at the beginning of the football season, he would stand in front of his football players and he would say this, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, these guys were all professionals, right, Jeff? I mean, I think they knew what a football was. But do you understand what Vince was trying to tell them? We've got to get back to the basics. Vince knew that if they didn't get back to the basics each and every year, then they would not be able to improve on their season and be the winning the team that the people wanted them to be. So he would tell them, "Gentlemen, this is a football." and we're going to get back to the basics. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the basics of being a Christian. And the church God wants us to be. How do I know that? Because we're losing the game. We're losing the game. How do you win a game in football, Jeff? Football, touchdowns, right? All right. How many have children that are in soccer and baseball? So I'm finishing. All right. How do you win at a soccer game? How do you win? Goals, right? How do you win at a baseball game? Home runs. How many of you own a business here? You're in the congregation, you own a business. Come on. Anybody? Okay. How do you win at being a businessman? What's the number one thing that you want to try to reach? Profit? Bottom line, profit, right? Bottom line, you want to have profit, right? How many of you are farmers? Come on. I know we got some out here. How many of you garden? Let's put it that way. All right? Raise your hand. All right. How do you know if you're successful in gardening? Produce, right? How about if you own an orchard? What is it? Fruit, right? Turn with me to Matthew 28, verse 19. Now, that's not my focus verse, but it's where we need to be reminded of. And I thought we need to start right back to the basics again. Here's the question. How do you know as a Christian and as a church if you're being successful? How do you know? Matthew 28, verse 19. Let me begin there. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay. How do you know if you are being successful as a Christian and as a church? What's it say? And baptizing them, right? Okay. Let me give you some statistics. This is how I know that we're losing the game, folks. Consider this. In 2013, as the association, the GDAB, churches baptized 780. 25 years ago, over 1,200 we baptized. But 2014, we only baptized 580. In 1 year, we had a decrease of over 200 baptisms in our association. Last year, our baptism numbers dropped to 461 as an association. 461. Let me bring it home. Can I do that, Mitch? I'm going to bring it home. 2013, First Baptist New Carlisle, baptized 9. 2014, 2. 2015, 4. 2016, 0. The average attendance in those years in worship is 158 in this church. If you take those baptism numbers and divide it, it takes 41 of you to reach one person for Christ. Are you losing the game? What do you think? Are you happy with that number? 41 of you to reach one person a year. That's probably, in this room, that's two people. Are you happy with that number? You see what Vince said to his players? He says, let's get back to the basics. The last time I was here with you, I spoke to you about what I felt and God has impressed upon me what the basics are of Christianity. And those are, and you heard it in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? Evangelism, discipleship, and bathing all of that in prayer. Those are the basics. Those are the DNA of a church. If you're failing in those areas, then you're dying as a church. Bottom line. Too many of our churches are in holy huddles. You know what a huddle is in football, right? They get in there and they talk about what they're going to do, and they stay there. They never break to play the game. They never get out there. And we've got to. Let me give you, in my article in our newsletter to the association in March and April, I said this. 17% of our churches, so we've got 100, so 17 churches in our association baptized zero in this last year. 51% of our churches baptized five or less. Of those 400 baptisms that we had, 400 plus baptisms, only six out of those 100 baptized more than 51%. I mean, in other words, those six churches and their baptisms totaled was 51% of that, or over 200 of the baptisms. Tells you that we're losing the game. When I was here, I talked about those 3 points. I talked about how important they are and how we need to get back to those. And so what I've done is this. I've broken this message up. I've broken that message up into basically 3 other messages. The basic message of presenting the importance of DNA and the prayer and evangelism and discipleship. And then I'm doing each individually. You see, that's what God's impressed upon me to share with you all. And so today, I want to talk to you about prayer and the reasons that we should pray. Some reasons that we should pray. Getting back to the basics. I'm trying to focus, and I'm sharing these with all of our churches. I'm not pointing out just New Carlisle. I'm saying, folks, we're losing it. We're losing the game. We need to get involved. We need to break from our holy huddles. And we need to get serious about sharing the gospel. All right? Because of that, over a year ago, Clay and I and about 75 other people from the association and surrounding areas of Miami Valley went to what was called the prayer boot camp. Now, how many of you know the Bible study Experiencing God? Anybody know that Bible study? Man, that's an awesome Bible study. If you've not had a chance to do it, I strongly recommend that you do it. But once you get started, you need to stay with it. And God will speak to you through that Bible study. Experiencing God, written by Henry Blackaby and another gentleman that co-wrote for him, would be Claude King. Now, Claude King has been involved in our convention for many, many years. Claude was available and has been doing this boot camp. He started this. And so we had an opportunity from the state level. They said, Steve, we'd like to host Claude King. Would your association like to do that? And I said, yeah. You know, I did one of these things. Yes. And so we had him down in Springfield over a year and a half ago. And we just had a time of talking about prayer and getting back to the basics of prayer. And it was such an awesome thing. And I've offered that to our churches. I've offered that to come and do that same thing in our churches around our association. Because it is so important. You hear the emphasis, prayer, evangelism, discipleship. But prayer covers them all. If we're not a praying church, we're a dying church. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. If we're not a praying church, we're a dying church. You've got to bathe everything, absolutely everything that you're doing in prayer. If it doesn't start out with prayer, it's going to fail, folks. It's got to get back to the basics. And we've got to be serious about prayer. All right, so let me, I've titled this sermon, back to basic training, some reasons to pray. But before we go any further, let's do just that. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be home, to be here with folks that you have placed in our lives, Father God, and known for many years, Father God. And for other folks that are new, and I don't know, but Father, I know that you do. And so, Father, I pray that they'll hear your words, Father. I pray that they'll hear your heart, as we just mentioned, your love, Father God, for us, and your desires for us as individuals and as a church and as an association and as a state, Father God, and as a convention, Father God. May we be serious about prayer. May we cover and bathe everything that we do with prayer, Father God. And may they hear some reasons today, Father God, why prayer is so important, why we should pray. And I pray this in your name. Amen. How many of you have been in the military? How many of you remember your drill sergeant? Yep. Story. Sergeant Story. I don't even know his first name. I just know it. Sergeant Story. I'll never forget that guy. Never forget him. Man, we were in basic training at Lackland, okay? And we were going through processing, right? And he marches us over. You marched absolutely everywhere, right? And you had a canteen on because it was so hot, right? It was so hot there in basic. So you carried a canteen and a web belt, right? You had your helmet, and you marched everywhere. We got to this building, and he told us to drop our helmets and our canteens, our web belts, and to go in. But he gave us some instructions for when we came out. He says, when you come out, stand at attention. And so we went into the building. We processed. We came out. And I tell you a little bit of Sergeant Story. I'm 6'4". I think he was 4'4", or something like that. You know, in the campaign hat, you know what I'm talking about? You know, the campaign hat with the strap and everything like that? That was Sergeant Story. I came out of the building, and I forgot. And I bent down to get that canteen to take a drink of water. And I got about that far, and I had that brim of that hat right in my face, saying, what? And in colorful language, do you think that you're doing? And it was all righty up in the detention, all right? Now, I don't want you to think that God, I don't want to compare him to a drill sergeant, because that's not our God. But our God is a God that loves us. We shared that so many times. I heard that word. God loves us so much. And so he corrects us, all right? He corrects us. Now, I think about it this way. My wife's name is Claudia, as I mentioned earlier. Claudia reminds me of things that I need to do. Like, she might say, Steve, did you check on Clarine when she broke down? Did you check on her? How is she doing? All right? Did you check on her? She'll say things like that to me, right? And so she's reminding me. It's not because she's picking on me. It's because she loves me, and she's reminding me of some of my responsibilities and the importance of checking on people. You know, I says, I do that because I know she has my best interest at heart. So when God says through his word we need to pray, it's because he has our best interest at heart. Check these out, and you can write these down if you're taking notes. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I'll read them to you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Some of us will probably remember this verbatim, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, right, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. All right? So, the very first thing is that we need to pray because God's told us to pray. Do you hear that? The very first thing is this. We pray because God's told us to pray. And he's told us out of His love for us and His concern for us. And we should listen because our love for Him and of our desire to be obedient. Do you hear that? God loved us so much, and He loves us, that He's trying to emphasize the importance of prayer. And how much. When I came to talk with the pastor search committee, I said to them, you better be serious about your walk with the Lord and pray, pray, pray. Put on your spiritual armor, because Satan will be throwing his fiery darts. He does not want any church in the Greater Dayton Association to be successful. And he's out there throwing darts. He's throwing darts. And I'm telling you, you've got to be prayed up. You've got to put your spiritual armor on. In Ephesians 6, it tells us to put our spiritual armor on. Be prepared for battle. And that's exactly what God's doing. And He's trying to prepare us for battle. How serious? Are you serious about winning for Christ? If you are, then you need to pray. Prayer has got to be a primary concern in our individual lives and in our church lives. Now, the second point is this, because it brings Him glory. Back to that drill sergeant. Do you remember doing your maneuvers, marching and doing all the maneuvers, right? The about faces, right? And the left turns and the portion right turns and left turns and slant right, slant left. How about the starburst? Do you remember that? All right? Did you do the starburst in basic? It was one of the things that we did. And you know what the goal was? Here's what the goal was. Let me tell you, Story was such a mean guy. We wanted to try to get a smile on Story's face. That was the objective. If we did the maneuver right, I mean, it took a while. I mean, you know, we'd stumble, we'd fall, somebody, you know, out of step, whatever it was, Jeff. I mean, we were messing it up. But the objective was to make the drill sergeant smile. You know what was even better? What was even better? If there were other drill sergeants out there, right? If there are other drill sergeants out there and you did the maneuver right, oh boy, then you'd see Story's chest come out, you know? And you knew that you were successful. Guess what? That's our objective as Christians too, is to give God the glory. To give God the glory. That's the primary reason for prayer. Whatever brings God the most glory. In 1 Corinthians, write this down in your notes, 10:31, it says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Mitch mentioned graduates. When you graduate, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That was me, probably, because of the cough. I apologize. So do it for the glory of God. In the book, The Battle Plan for Prayer, and this is written by Stephen and Alex Kendrick, it says this, the Hebrew word for glory carries the idea of weight and importance, majesty and honor. So the glory of the Lord is when God reveals a glimpse of who He is. He is unwrapping a measure of His identity, some His nature, His holiness, His power, and His loving kindness. Philippians 2:11 says this, in every tongue acknowledge that Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, every prayer request and even every scenario that triggers a prayer request is actually an opportunity for us to witness His glory firsthand. That's what it's all about. Because when He answers, that's what He's doing. He wants us to see what He's like. So we pray because we're obedient to a loved one. It brings Him glory. And finally, we grow in our relationship with Him. So, the first thing was, what? Because He told us so, right? The second thing was, is because it brings him glory. But also, thirdly and lastly, it says, because we grow in our relationship with the Lord. I had the blessing of going to San Antonio, Texas, twice. Twice. All right? How many of you had that blessing? You did twice? I went there first for enlisted basic training, and then I went back for officer training school. Okay? First time, as I said there, and I had to, one of the things that I had to do is I had to run a mile under 10:50. Now, I got to tell you, I wasn't a young guy, okay? All right? I'm not going to tell you how old I was, but I wasn't a young guy, all right? So I had to run that mile and a half, it was a mile and a half, excuse me, under 10:50. And I had to run many miles during my time at OTS to get it so that I could run, I could finish that race under 10:50. Many, many miles. In the same way, as Christians, we are running a race with a goal in mind. Check out what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Our goal as a Christian is to do what it is described in Matthew 28:19, where it says, and I'm reminding you of this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How does prayer help us with our relationship with God? How many of you have a cell phone? All right, now that device is a communications device, right? It helps you communicate with people, right? But it's also a relationship device, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, through that phone, all right, I'm going to ask some teenagers, how often do you talk to your friends on that phone? Put that over there. How often? Come on. A lot, right? A lot. Right? Because what it is it's your relationship with those folks. And we do it the same. Adults, come on, we do the same thing. We keep up with each other. Why do you think I post on Facebook? I post on Facebook where I'm going to churches, and several of you have mentioned that you follow me on Facebook. Some say, you haven't come to our church in a while, but you're going to some of the other churches, right? And but that's because we have 100 of them. And it takes a while. Think about that. And so the deal is that's a way that I can communicate. I can build relations with our churches and with our pastors, right? It's a relationship device, right? And so the same thing is, we get to know him better through our prayer, through our communications with him. Just like I shared with you earlier, you get to see him in action and you get to see his glory. You see that? Through prayer, we get to see him and build and grow in our relationship with him. Through prayers, Christians share their minds, feelings, emotions, desires, and inadequacies with the Lord while he gives answers, assurances, and demonstrates his supremacy, his love. He demonstrates his love. That's the importance of prayer. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:14-19. Write that down. Ephesians 3:14-19. And it said this, should experience this love of Jesus. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be fulfilled to the measure of all the fullness of God. through prayer, we build up our faith in God and His Son in Jesus Christ. This is why in Jude 20, he encourages Christians to pray in the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Jesus laid the example for Christian believers by praying so often that his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. Prayer strengthens the believer, builds up courage in him and his confidence in the ability of God to do the impossible. I'm going to share just a story in closing. I was at First Baptist Fairborn, and I knew that my time at Fairborn was coming to an end. And I had been in prayer. Claudia and I had been praying about what God wanted us to do next. And we sent out resumes. And you have to know that I also have an engineering degree, so I also sent out some engineering resumes. And I had some engineering contacts. Nothing. Nothing came back. I was also having some health issues with my heart. And I was scheduled to go to the Cleveland Clinic for an ablation procedure, an operation, in October. In October, we were headed to the Cleveland Clinic. And the chairman, one of the people from the personnel committee from the association, called me on the way up, a friend. He had actually forgotten about the surgery that was coming up, and I thought he was calling because of the surgery. We were in our van on the way up, halfway up to Cleveland, and we had him on the speakerphone, so Claudia and I could hear him. And he said, "Steve, I just wanted you to know that the personnel committee of the association would like you to consider being the interim associational missionary when Don McMurray retires this December." Now, we have been praying since January, okay? Not a word. And we knew that probably in December, I was probably going to leave Fairborn. I was going to be finished at Fairborn. And so, here, this phone call in the midst of us going up to the Cleveland Clinic. And we've been praying, I got to tell you, we've been praying hard. And he said that to me, and I said, "Well, Dave, wow, that's an awesome request. We need to pray about it." And my wife said, "Whoa." She said, "Whoa. We do not need to pray about this. We have been praying about this. And this is God answering prayer. Do you hear me? This is God answering prayer." Now, I can tell you many other stories, but I wanted to share that with you, the importance of prayer. We had no idea what was going to happen next, but God did. He closed all those other doors, and He waited to open His door. Now, the story, that's not the end of the story, because I stand here in front of you as your associational missionary, not as your interim. God did some other things there too. But do you hear the importance of prayer? And then the glory? And then the glory? It was awesome to see God at work in our lives. Was there any doubt that this is where God wanted us to be? What do you think? Huh? No, right? You see the importance of prayer and bathing it. See, when you're going in ministry, you need to know that this is exactly where God wants you to go. There are a lot of good things out there, folks, but we want the best thing, the thing that God wants. And the only way that you can know that is by communicating with your friend, with your master, with your Lord. And you got to be serious about that. You got to be serious about it. Later in November, the personnel committee met with me, and at the November executive board meeting, they presented me to the executive board, and they voted unanimously to call me as the interim associational missionary. Don McMurray, by the way, didn't even have a clue that they were recommending me. All right, so it was kind of a surprise, but it was a pleasant surprise to Don. Don, I was sitting right next to Don, and Don said, "Steve, I am so glad it's you. I'm so glad it's you." But the point is that God gets all the glory. He took care of that and took care of many other things in our lives. And He will do the same for you, but you got to be deadly serious about prayer. Now, that whole message, well, 90% of it message was for those that are Christians. Remember I said I'd challenge you? Because Christians, we got to get serious. We're losing the games, folks. The numbers speak. The question is, what are we going to do about it as Christians? But here's the other part. There might be somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I've got to tell you this, one thing. You're here this morning because God wanted you here. There might have been other people that said something to you or have invited you or brought you along, but you're here this morning because God wanted you to be here this morning. He wanted you to hear His heart. So if you're one of those people here this morning, don't know Jesus Christ, don't have a relationship with Him, then listen real closely. Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins and for everybody's sins. He died on the cross so that we could have a relationship through Him with the Father. It is through accepting what Jesus did on the cross for us, accepting that He sacrificed His life for us, and knowing that we're sinners, we mess up. I mess up. I'll mess up today. I'll tell you, I'll mess up today. I'll probably have said something, maybe that's even offended somebody here in this room. I'll mess up. But I hope that you heard God's words and not Steve's words. God's heart. And that's what He wants you to hear, is His heart. And He can't stand sin. So He's going to ask, first off, that you accept that Christ died on the cross for your sins. And the second part of that is that you know that you're a sinner. And then the third part of that is that you turn away from those sins and turn towards God. Accept Him as your Savior and Lord. The Savior part was the sacrifice on the cross. The Lordship part is when you die daily and you try to do your best to have a relationship with Him and do the things that He wants you to do. That's what it's all about. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus Christ, that's what it's about. Now that begins your journey. That begins the journey. From there on, you heard some of the other things. Prayer has got to be an integral part of your life. Sharing the gospel, helping people to grow in their relationship with the Lord. Those are our game plans. That's the goal as Christians. Relationship with Christ, with the Lord through Christ, and teaching each other how to grow in our own walk with the Lord and to introduce people, other people, to Christ. That's the goal. That's how we win. That's how God wins, through us and using us. Let's pray. Father God, as we come now to this invitation time, as we sing, as we go back to that song and sing Worthy of Worship, and we remember the words that were shared, Father God, and we remember some of the words that I've just shared, that you shared through me, Father God. I pray that we'll hear the changes that we need to make in our own lives. Father, if we're Christians, the desire to pray more, to seek your face, to seek your will in our life, and to follow it as closely as we possibly can. And Father, if we don't know your Son as our Savior and Lord, then Father, that might be our goal today, Father God, that we might accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord and establish our relationship today with you through Him in that commitment. as this music's playing, Father God, in just a moment when I finish and say amen, a time of invitation as we sing this song, I pray that if there are Christians that know that they need to make changes, that they'll just take the time to come to these steps and just share that with the Lord. Share. And if those are here that don't know Christ as their Savior and Lord, that during this time of invitation, they might come up to Jeff and maybe some of our other deacons, like Mitch and others that stand up front here, and that they would accept, they would just tell them that they want to know more about how to become a Christian and give us the opportunity, Father, to share your Son with them, Father God. I pray that that will happen in just this moment as Jeff leads us, Father God. And I pray, most importantly, Father God, that you would receive all the glory and all the honor. And I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.